You and I need stability in our life. The type of stability that we need is that type of stability that we know is always going to be there. What we truly need is a constant in our life. Constant, meaning solid all the time. Constant, meaning there's never an end to it. It deals with our situation in life. It deals with the state of affairs in our life. And when you and I look at God's word, we understand that we need that constant that never changes. People change their mind all the time. I can have my mind made up on a situation and be with a group of people and everybody starts giving their opinion and all of this, and then you change your mind two or three times in the same type of meeting. But we need something constant. We need something solid. Well, not only do we need that, God says, I am going to be your constant in life. I want you to come to me. I want you to pray to me. I want you, through my son Jesus, to be solid on my foundation because your foundation is rocky. You notice all the digging out here in the parking lot. They got in over here on one of the drains, and they had dug last week 12 foot down trying to dig stuff out because whether it's a sinkhole or whatever it is, and as they digging down, they went ahead and put another 10-foot rod down to see how much deeper, and they never did hit the bottom. Well, that's the way life goes. You get that foundation you think's going to work, and the best they can tell me on this one out here is seeing the stone and all that is in it is in the 1930s. That has taken a lot of water since 1930, hasn't it? And a lot of everything else. No telling what they'll find. They keep digging down out there. But God says, you don't want the foundation to crumble. I want to promise you this one thing. I want to promise you that the foundation is coming. He's telling Abraham, Abraham, it's coming. Your whole family, all your descendants are going to be mighty blessed. That coming dealt with the coming of his son Jesus, who's going to seal the foundation of your eternal life, to give you hope, to give you help. And today, I love the songs that talk about heaven, Brother Randy. I just love, and I know it. And when you were asking the question a while ago, you know, how many of you, how often do you think about going to heaven? For me, it's every day. I think about it daily. Well, you see, God also lets me know something in my thinking process. I'll let you know when I'm through with you. You see what I mean? So therefore, you and I have got to have that foundation. Can't change. Your pastor is not going to get up here and say, okay, there's another way to heaven. There isn't. The only hope that you and I have is through Jesus Christ. It has been planned before time began. But God said, he is my son, and whoever will believe, that person is saved. You and I are whoever's. We're the whosoever's. You and I who have said yes to Jesus Christ need to understand this. The solid foundation that I have to go through every day. You know, I like iPhones. I really do. I like what the phone can do. Because I can read my Bible on it at any time. No matter where I am, I can pull out my phone and I'm reading scripture. I think of something while I'm sitting somewhere, and that's the way preachers do. You may make a little statement, and all of a sudden, somebody like me, there's a whole sermon in that statement. As a matter of fact, there's a few in our congregation. I could have enough sermons to finish up my life here on earth, starting with myself. But God said, where's the foundation? And then he points to himself. And as he points to himself, he turns and points to his son. And every generation of the Old Testament knew that Jesus was coming. And then Jesus was going to be the Word of God. The solidness that you and I have is in that Word. Read the Bible. Read your Bible. Read God's Word. And God says, I want you to understand. Look at Malachi 3, verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. And God is the only one who doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God. He is the foundation of all that exists. Doesn't matter whether the world believes it or not. It doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. It's a fact. And he's a constant. He's constantly God. He constantly loves me. He constantly loves me. Amen. He constantly loves you. Just like you are. I got to pretty myself up to get in the presence of God. God takes me with all my ugliness, and he loves me, and he says, Larry, I'm constant in your life. Woo! I got you. Don't you worry about what the world can do or what people threaten to do. I want you to know that I am the constant in your life and for your life, because I love you, and I love you just like you are. Isn't it awesome to be loved just like you are? Now, moms and dads and grandparents and all of this, we want to, you know, wait a minute. You know, we need to dress you properly. You need to have the proper haircut. You know what I said to all of us moms and dads? Leave them alone. Leave them alone. They'll do just fine. They look just fine to God. Let each individual find their place. Let each individual, by the direction of God, God says, I'm going to promise you this. It's called an oath. And God said, I'm going to give you my oath, meaning I guarantee. Let's do it that way. See, God just said, I'm giving you an oath. Most of us, if we're going to make an oath, we're swearing oaths by a higher power. Well, there's no higher power than God. So God said, my oath is this. I'm going to give you hope. I promise you, I will give you hope. I will instill my hope in your life, and it is my hope that is solid. That's why when the earth shakes, when everything around you feels like it's falling apart, you have on the foundation of God hope. Hope for a better tomorrow. Hope for better people that will surround you. Hope in Christ that has guaranteed he will never turn loose of you. That is the power of God. That's a constant you want in your life. God said, I constantly love you, remember? Constantly watching after you. Constantly pulling you out of the ditch of life. I am your constant. Hebrews 6, 17 through 18. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose. Before time began, God's purpose was to send Jesus. Meaning God's coming down and incarnate in his son. And God's going to check out everything he's created personally. He said, I love you. Do you and I as Christians not call it a personal relationship with Jesus? God has always been a personal God. The only problem with man has been we have stood away from his personality. God is a personality of love. God is a personality also of judgment. But he's promised through his son, my son is coming. And his purpose is to take away the judgment from your life. All those who know Jesus can never fall under the judgment. Why? Because our Savior, Jesus Christ, took my punishment for me on that cross to his very death. There had to be a blood sacrifice. And Jesus said, I'll go. And all those words that God left us in the Holy Scripture, with God watching on his son on a cross, dying, being humiliated, all sorts of pain that he was taking. You and I don't know what pain is about. Jesus took it. And all of that, but pictured, folks, our Father in heaven was watching. Think of yourself and your loved one, the one you love so dear, put on a cross, innocent. All he did was love. Raised and healed the sick, raised the dead. I mean, everybody wanted to be his friend when he's raising dead people. Everybody wanted to be his friend when he was healing the sick, making the lame to walk, the blind to see. But now this Jesus, well, he's talking like no other one we've ever heard before. When Jesus speaks, he speaks of authority on his own. We haven't heard that because our rabbis always quote a wiser rabbi when they were speaking. Jesus comes and says, this is the way it is. They couldn't handle it, so they put him on a cross. Satan thought he was destroying Jesus. But Jesus knew that you and I was the reason he was coming. And God, through his stability, had guaranteed a Savior would come. And God cannot lie. And Jesus comes. And he fulfills his mission. He learned your name and my name. And not only did he not know, did he not learn your name and my name, or that he did learn it, he died for me personally. God's watching his son do this. Don't you understand the responsibility then that you and I would have? If God stood back, it wouldn't have taken a breath from the nostril of God to have wiped everybody off and delivered his son. But his son came for that purpose. But he cried out on that cross, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then over the years, I learned in my heart, because I can't imagine as a father standing back and letting everybody mess with my son. That just ain't going to happen without me getting involved. Ain't going to happen. But God let it happen because he loved me that much. Do you know that Jesus says that his Father loves you and me just as much as he loved him? Whew. Do you understand the caring love? It's constant, Brother Randy. God constantly loves me. Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong in what I do, it does not affect his love for me. And he watched until the time had come. And Jesus says from the cross, Father, I commit unto you my spirit. It is finished. He took care of my debt. He took care of all of it on that cross. Because he's constant. Do you not think that it won't be the same God that works your problems out in your life and in your heart? The brokenness that we go through, we bring that brokenness on. It's a human brokenness. We bring it on through our own actions or through somebody, other human's actions. But it still hurts. And God said, I watched my son die on that cross. I don't want to watch you die because I guaranteed that whosoever believes in him should never die. So because Jesus went on that cross and he died that death, God had promised me that I shall never see it. I'll be out of here with him before that body hits the floor. You got me? I'm going, people. I get excited about that. But I also get excited about getting to stay and preach. Do you realize the honor you have, Christian, of even being given the blessing of calling yourself a Christian, meaning a friend of Jesus? Well, see, my friend Jesus took care of everything for me. Why would I not give all that I have to those that I love? Why would I not be ready and willing to give what it takes? It was a constant. Jesus is constant and he constantly gives. Don't you feel good when you've been to church? Isn't it awful when you're out somewhere and you couldn't go to church, you didn't make it, and you're fine. You're talking to the Lord. You may be reading your scripture, having your prayer. But it is something about uniting together with other flawing Christians. Oh, we're a bunch of flaws, every one of us. We're flawing Christians. But you unite us together, watch out, devil. You put us together. Why, folks, I guarantee you that the body of Christ, the church of Jesus, I guarantee you is so powerful that we'll love them to death. Put out the love that Christ has given us. Listen, let me finish the scripture. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. Woo! I'm an heir to the kingdom. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Work on that song, Brother Randy. It's a home. When you said, I believe, Jesus says, I will. Because my love is constant. And I said, whosoever. Heirs that were promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God. God said a guarantee. It's this way. When God says he guarantees it, count on it. It's happening. God did this so that by two unchangeable things. Now you'll hear the scholars argue about what those two unchangeable things are. Folks, those two unchangeable things can be multiple things. But what's unchangeable is God, his stability. And what's unchangeable is the hope he's talking about. No matter how bad it gets, I got hope. No matter how rough it gets, I know that I'm not going to have to go through it alone. He's unchanging. Through the unchanging things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Meaning, look, you may be standing there. The world's coming after you. You are trembling. You're shaking physically. Your legs won't move. Your body is terrified. You're standing there, and then you're saying, Lord, what do I do? Lord, look at the army of evil that is before me. Think of it. Look at what I have to face. What do I do? I'm terrified. There's where holy boldness steps in. Though you're afraid, you go anyway. Though your body's trembling, you go anyway. Though you know in your mind that death is certain, you go anyway. Why? Because there's a fellow Marine out there. There's a fellow combat soldier out there. Navy, airman, Coast Guard. They're out there. They're on the battlefield. Folks, it's the lost that you and I are called to minister to. We come together and worship together to grow strength so we can go forth and take the message of hope. There's a lot of people in this world that don't see hope. But God has called us to show it to them. Hope. Promise of today. Hope for tomorrow. That's what Christ is talking about when he's talking about it being a constant in our life. I got God's sustaining power in me, Brother Randy. Meaning it is a power that cannot be taken away. Oh, I can be killed. Oh, one of these cancers might get me. I can't take the other medicine yet. It might get me. But it sure got a fight on its hand. If it's trying, you know why? I belong to the King. Now, if the Lord wants me to go that way, that's okay with me. That's okay with me. But I ain't going without a fight. Why? Because you and I are called by God to stand up, just like his son did. His son said, when they came to get him in the garden, Brother Randy, his son, Jesus, looked at him and said, who are you looking for? We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I'm he. He didn't start pointing out anybody. I'm the one that you want. Do you know as soon as he said that, the scripture says that every one of them fell? They were so weak they couldn't stand. They collapsed in front of him. A lot of power there, isn't it? Well, he decided to put one of them's ear back on him even during that whole situation. That's the Christ that I serve. That's the Christ that has me looking for a home in glory land. But that's the Christ also that says, I'll give you the power. I want you to trust me that you will have it when the time comes. Not for you to show off with, not for you to do anything else with. But when the time comes and the need is there, look to me. I want you to trust me. That's what God has said from the beginning. Trust me. Abraham, I want you to take your whole family, all your herds, I want you to leave. Where am I going, Lord? That's none of your concern, Abraham. I'll show you on the way. Abraham believed God. And the scripture says, and it was accounted to him for righteousness because he believed and he went. And you and I are those descendants. The Christian faith is a descendant. Cast your cares on the Lord, Psalm 55, 22, 23, on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. You hearing that? But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty, now listen to this. You've met them. I know you have, Jason. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. Oh, David was something, wasn't he? He was a mess. Oh, folks, his personal life and everything was a mess. But God said he's a man after my own heart. And he says, I trust in you, Lord. Because of what I believe, I'm guaranteed eternal life. Not because of what I've done, Brother Randy. Not because of the good or the bad that's in my life. But because I believe. It's all on Jesus. Folks, you don't have a right. Yes, I believe in once saved, always saved. Absolutely. But that does not give me the right to sin. Why do I not want to? Because of love. Don't you understand? Because of love, don't you want the best for your children? Don't you want the best for your family? For your mate? And because of love, you want to do what is right. It's not because that, y'all, I'm just going to go out here and do anything I want. I'm going to heaven anyway. No, that has nothing to do with Christianity. That has to do with the mind of carnal man. And God says, here's what I'm going to give you. I am going to give you eternal life. I'm going to give you trust. I'm going to give you hope continually within your life. I want you to grab hold of all, and I want you to enjoy this life that I've placed you in. I want you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. Don't you see yourself as, oh, woe is me, because, you know, I may have a little bit of this or a little bit of that. That's a blessing from God. Don't woe is me. Enjoy it. You go out there and you enjoy it. If you want to give it away, give it away. God never blames you for spending it on yourself. Enjoy life that God has given us. It's an eternal life. Here's how we got it. John 3:16-17. Favorite scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever... I like the whosoever. That one is something about whosoever. That word is just awesome. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not. Now listen to this. Everybody forgets the verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus came to save. Now, when he comes back, that's judgment time. When Jesus comes, what we call the second coming of Jesus, that doesn't mean that's the only time that Jesus, that's the second time Jesus had put his feet on planet Earth. No. Jesus had been in and out of history. But he was born in Bethlehem in the flesh. When he comes back, he'll be in his glorified body. But let me tell you something, Christian. All the stuff that's going to go on, you see the end times stuff that's going on. I won't go over it, but I will tell you this. Don't you worry about it as far as affecting you when you said yes to Jesus. Because when Jesus comes, the scripture says the graves will open up and the dead in Christ will rise first. Even before the great patriarchs of the past. Why? You and I believed, and yet we haven't seen him. That means by faith you trusted without seeing. And because you didn't see and you believe, he said, you're going to be with me, brother. I'm a brother. I'm your brother. Together, we make the church representing Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through himself. That was the offer. Do you believe? Will you believe? Accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Let him come in your heart. Those of you who want to talk with me, I know because of the COVID restrictions and everything, we still have to watch ourselves, and we do. But I want you to know, COVID can't stop you from saying yes to Jesus. Say it in your heart. Find the peace and the joy that only Christ can give. It's a blessing getting to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've preached it here for 27 years going on. It's been a blessing to see all the personalities in that 27 years. Now, I don't know. I'm very doubtful that the Lord is going to have me hang around here 27 more. But that's okay. I will promise you this. I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ for what period of time he gives me here. And I will preach salvation through him only. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, dear Lord God, for the blessings of life, the joy of salvation, for your special touch that only you can give. Touch our lives now, Father, as we go out into the world that you've created. Let us be a light that shines and projects your love to a lost and dying world. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.